Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and free agency so far. What more do the Titans have left to do? We'll take your thoughts on that all show long as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds and Penguins tonight as well at Bridgestone Arena. Chris Mason coming up at 9:30 here on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the red-hot Nashville Predators taking on a team that never seems to go away with Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Big one tonight coming up later at Bridgestone Arena. Joe, obviously, lots of hype around this Tennessee team heading into the tournament. They've won the SEC tournament. They are a team where you look at the situation right now, a 3 seed should be a 2 seed, but the draw is pretty good for the Vols at this point. So going to be some high expectations for this team heading into the tournament. We all know what Rick Barnes' record is in March. We know that there have been disappointing performances both with Tennessee and during his time with Texas as well in the NCAA tournament. My question for you, Joe Rexrode, is how much pressure is on Rick Barnes to deliver in this tournament, and what does this tournament ultimately mean for his legacy, do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know about the pressure on Rick himself. You know, I mean, Rick Barnes... You know, he's had a very successful career, obviously. I think the pressure as it relates to Rick Barnes, I think the players understand what people say, and I think the players want this for him. Probably about as much as you could have, like, you know, college basketball players wanting to win for their coach, especially after last year. Because, look, last year – They were a very erratic team and not a well-constructed team. They were very much like win-loss down the stretch last year. But it was still jarring to see what happened against Oregon State. Now, granted, let's remember, Oregon State went on to the Elite Eight. Oregon State ripped through the Pac-12 tournament. That was an example of a team that just got red hot and just at that time was playing in just astoundingly good basketball. So once it was over, it looked a little better for Tennessee. But, of course, when they lost, it's a 5 losing to a 12. And it was – I mean, they got smoked, you know, in that game. So that left Rick Barnes 24-25 in the NCAA tournament. You know, you're talking about a guy now who has 750 wins. So his overall success just does not – it's not matched in the NCAA tournament, you know. You know, he's been to 7 Sweet 16s. He's been to 3 Elite Eights and Final Four. It's not like he's never had tournament success, but he's had several teams that were expected to do better than they did. And so that's how the reputation is earned. So, but I mean, for him at this stage in his career, you know, how many more years does Rick Barnes have? I don't know. Probably not a ton.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, you know, Rick Barnes. I honestly don't think it bothers him that much. I think it bothers all the people close to him way more, assistants and players. So they know. I mean, look. Their focus was him after winning the SEC tournament championship, and I think that's a big motivator for them now, for whatever that's worth.
I just wonder for the average Tennessee fan this year that is, they're bought into this group. Obviously, you just won the SEC tournament. You know, what would a successful run in the tournament look like? I mean, some of that's going to depend on the matchups as you go down the stretch. Like, I don't know, if you lose to Villanova somewhere along the line, is that really a disappointing run? I don't know. I mean, I think that would probably depend on the eye of the beholder. Like, is there a certain benchmark that you have to reach? Is it Elite Eight? Is it Final Four? Like, what constitutes a successful run in the tournament for Tennessee fans? I'd be interested to know what the answer to that question is.
Yeah, to me, certainly, And if they don't get out of this weekend in Indy, it's a massive, massive disappointment. And it will come back on Rick Barnes and that tournament record and all that stuff. There's no doubt. You know, another thing, you know, one big thing, you know, that he has the worst record. It doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter now, but he has the worst record in tournament history as the lower seed. So in other words, when he plays a team that is seeded better than him, he's 1-11. But that could not happen until you get to the Sweet 16 against Villanova. So yeah, like if they get to Sweet 16, lose to Villanova, it would be disappointing. But I mean, also anybody who watched this team closer this year, they got beat soundly by Villanova early in the year. So it's not like some shocking event. You get to that and it's a good season.
Right.
You know, SEC tournament championship, you're number five, you know, you're number five in the nation going into the tournament, you get to the Sweet 16. Sweet 16, those a benchmark, you know, that getting to the second weekend, again, you know, he's done that seven times. He's had a lot more teams that should have, but still, like you count that as a positive on your resume. Now it'll say eight Sweet 16s if people are trying to argue, you know, the other way for him. So that would be significant, but I mean, I feel like a lot of Vols fans who are really bought in and excited, and they should be, by the way, I think you might need to go to the Elite Eight at least to, you know, to make people feel really good about it.
Yeah.
And the problem is you get to the Elite Eight and it's like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
If it's the Elite Eight against Arizona, well, you already beat Arizona. So, okay, you got to get to the Final Four.
You have to win the national
title. If you
title.
Get there, you got to win two more games. That's right.
I don't know. I know what the narrative is on Rick Barnes. I think it's justified. There's no question about it. He has had some teams in the NCAA tournament that have disappointed. And if Tennessee comes out and goes out in the first week, let's say they beat Longwood and they lose to Michigan in the second round. Like, that's going to be a pretty massive disappointment for Tennessee fans as they look at this tournament this year. So I do think there's pressure on Rick Barnes. I don't think it's going to necessarily affect him and the way that they play. You know, how much does that affect the team? Does it affect the team at all, given the way that some NCAA tournaments have gone for them? I don't know. I mean, this is a different team. A couple of these guys are freshmen and have never been in this situation before. So, you know, certainly a new team from that regard. They've played in some big pressure moments, obviously. You know, big game against Auburn, a couple of big games against Kentucky. SEC tournament. So this team has been in high pressure moments before and has responded pretty well. I'm interested to see how they do that coming up later this week in the NCAA tournament. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got some thoughts to get to on the text line. We'll do that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Preds taking on the Penguins tonight. We'll have that opportunity for you later at 8:45 here on the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. David Beauclair coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on free agency so far for the Tennessee Titans. Right now, talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Wayne from Spring Hill texting in says, if they want to prove people like Joe Lunardi wrong, Tennessee needs to get to the Final Four. The Final Four to prove Lunardi wrong. What do you think of that, Joe Rexroad?
That's actually pretty funny because Joe Lunardi said he's picking them to go to the Final Four.
Did he really?
Yeah. Well, he said, actually, he's like, actually, I think they're going to be one of my Final Four picks, but they are a three seed. So, you know, I mean, again, like, you know, here we are. It's what, Tuesday now? You know, the seeding, they got seeded badly by a spot. There are teams in every single tournament who are off a line one way or the other, high or low. I mean, it happens all over the place. Now, again, I think I think the outrage on this one has to do with the fact that Duke is the other team. Duke is one of the teams that got it too, right?
There is that.
So we all already expected up. Oh, Duke's going to get some kind of a bonus, some kind of a bump for Coach K, which, I mean, I guess they did, because Duke should not at all be a two seed. But I think at this point, worrying about the seeding is, I mean, you know, win basketball games. That's what's great about this tournament. You can be whatever seed, or, you know, people rank you and judge you. And in this thing, it's very simple. Here's a bracket. Here's all the teams. Go win the thing, you know?
Very well said. Let's go back to the text line. Got a text that says, I don't follow Tennessee basketball or NCAA basketball in general, but I can honestly say that losing at least in the first round will really mess up his legacy, especially now that they've won the SEC tournament. It's coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
So his legacy is worse, potentially, because he won the SEC tournament. I mean, look, I understand what you're saying. Like, this would be a, I mean, this team has sky-high expectations because it's been so good this year. So that makes the, you know, that makes the, and look, every big program, and many just really great teams suffer the shocking loss in this tournament. It's part of why we love it. I mean, you can go through the list of all the, again, I've talked about Michigan State, you know, losing to Middle Tennessee as a two, as the top two. They thought they got screwed. They should have been a one seed. They get a two. They play Middle Tennessee, and after that, they're like, wait, that's a 15 seed? That's like an 11 seed. You know, Giddy Potts had missed three games in a row. They got badly seeded. Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. You go through all of them. Everybody has those shockers, you know, where they thought they could have made a run, and instead they lost, you know, to a Cinderella. You know, Rick Barnes could use a run. And you know, look, 3 years ago, I still believe that team could have done any. I mean, that team was a Final Four quality team. I mean, maybe a team that could have won it all. And you know, lost in heartbreaking fashion the Sweet 16. You just don't know. Well, the team before that was really good. The team before that, which is the same guys, basically, they never were number one in the country like the 18-19, but it was Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone, all those guys. You know, they're a three. I mean, they lose a heartbreaker last-second shot to Loyola, which goes to the Final Four, you know? At the time, it was like, oh, Loyola, Rick Barnes, Loyola. Now, Loyola goes to Final Four, you feel better about it. But then again, you also could feel worse about it because you absolutely could have had the same run Loyola had.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Paris texting in says, after being mad at their seeding, I'm over that now. I'm out now with Willie. With the way they play defense, I like their draw, and I see Elite Eight, maybe Final Four. I'm glad we're talking college hoops. You know, Jared doesn't like that. This is coming from Mark from Paris on the text line. Always a shot.
We love college hoops over here. We love it.
Yeah, we're not taking shots at Jared. So let it be known the texters are.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, Michelle, we haven't really delved into Kentucky, Tennessee, but I guess that's old news now. Everybody's moving forward.
I mean, Tennessee beats Kentucky every year. It's old news at this point.
It's old hat. It
happens all the time. Rick Barnes, 10-7. Just throwing that out there.
And let's look at the tournament records.
Well, y'all hadn't been in that the last couple of years. So what's that been like?
Just once.
Okay.
Well, but that's the interesting thing when you talk about Rick Barnes' legacy. Yeah, look, like when he's done at Tennessee, like they could flame out real early in this tournament and never have tournament success, and he's still going to be like for Tennessee basketball. I mean, now granted, Bruce Pearl also was very good, and they had some tournament success. So you've had the two most successful coaches since the Mears era going way back
to
the 70s for this program. And it's total, you know, but I mean, 10-7 against Kentucky is a big deal. I mean, it's not like it's been 10-7 against Kentucky in like a probation period or something. I mean, it's 10-7 against Calipari, you know? That's also why everything, the recruiting, the player development, the facilities, the regular season, the consistency, all that stuff, like at some point, then you gotta also have a deep run to go with it all. This is the team to do it.
So, I mean, look, it goes without saying, like, if Tennessee went on a magical run and won the national title, I mean, obviously, that would be gigantic for the program. What would getting to the Final Four do for this program, do you think?
I mean, look, there's not much difference, okay? I mean, there really isn't. Of course, winning it all is winning it all. But getting to that week, and I mean, it's like getting to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I know there's four teams, but you have that whole week of being one of those four teams that, you know, are being celebrated. You're playing on that stage at that great Final Four Saturday. The exposure, you know, the Final Four is, I think there's a lot of people who obviously just tune into college basketball starting this weekend. Again, like we talked about it already, I think this weekend's the best weekend. And then, like, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight weekend is just usually just great teams and games. But the Final Four is kind of one of those, like, also just sort of, oh, it's the Final Four. People just watch it, whether they really care about the basketball or not. I mean, it's a program exposure thing, just as an achievement. I mean, again, this program has never been there. I was there that day in St. Louis in 2010 when they got really, really close. And Draymond Green from Michigan State makes a great pass to Raymar Morgan. He gets hit, and Michigan State wins at the foul line with, like, whatever it was, 1.1 of a second. Yeah, what a heartbreaker for Tennessee. And that was a very good team. But, like, I mean, I look at that team. I mean, this team is much better than that team. You know, for example, you want it for comparison's sake. So they've played for it one time ever. They've played for it. They've never been there. To do that, I mean, to me, you do that, and if we're going to talk about this in the Rick Barnes context, I mean, he's now above the law. You know? Yeah. Like, just call him Deacon Barnes from now on, you know. And there's nothing else you can say other than he's the greatest Tennessee coach ever. And, I mean, think about – like, I thought about this the other day with the Kentucky win. I think that even though football is king by far, I think that Tennessee men's basketball playing Kentucky is just the average Vols fan, I think, looks forward to that as much as anything, just because it's a huge deal. It's Kentucky, so it's big. You feel good about winning, right? Like, there's no – maybe this changes in football with Florida now. Like, this year it'll probably be Florida. You feel like you can win that game. But in football, the rivals just – you know it's not going to go well, right? I feel like my point being, you know, and look at Tennessee baseball last year. Like, when a Tennessee team gets going, it's an avalanche of support. And I know that there's some people who are probably afraid to dip their toe in the water. I get it. This tournament there's going to be several teams who could have made a deep run in this tournament, who could be in New Orleans, who are going to be out this weekend. There is no doubt. But a Final Four run for this program would be enormous. I can't even imagine what it would, like, for the fan base, what that would mean. But it would be the biggest thing for the Tennessee Vols fan of all their sports in a long, long time.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim from Springfield texting in says, very little difference between being a number two or number three seed in the grand scheme of things, but it is disrespectful to what the Vols accomplished this year. I hope the previous texter realizes that Joe Lunardi does not actually seed the teams. He only predicts what the committee will do. This is coming from Jim from Springfield. So Jim saying lay off Joe Lunardi a little bit, Vols fans.
Well, it's just that Joe Lunardi, and I agreed with people saying, huh? I mean, Joe Lunardi was trying to justify them being a three, and there is not, like, there really isn't justification for it.
No.
Even so, I said they should have been seated higher.
We know what a big deal that is.
That is a big deal, guys.
That says something. That says something right there. I mean, look, you could compare Tennessee's resume to Kentucky and Auburn, and it's right there too. I mean, it's Villanova. Actually, it's funny because I almost feel like Villanova and Kentucky. Well, who knows? Really, Duke's a three, but Villanova and Kentucky are very close too, and it's kind of interchangeable. Sometimes that works out that way with the bracket, like the top two, or I'm sorry, the bottom two and the top three, and then they just put them together. That's kind of what this feels like, you know. Whether it was Tennessee is the two, Villanova is the two, they are lined up to meet in San Antonio in the Sweet 16. And at that point, the only difference is that Villanova will get to wear the home unis.
Ron on the text line says, I got Tennessee in my Final Four, and if they make it, maybe it'll bring more McDonald's superstars here. Maybe a little more McDonald's All-Americans come to Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Or McDonald's superstars, either one. McDonald's bags.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about McDonald's bags-related recruiting.
Well, the chief culprit of that's gone, even though yes. I think we determined that wasn't true, but that means nothing. The truth means nothing.
It sounds great. Yeah, it'll still always be a joke because it doesn't matter if it's actually true or not, you know?
That's right.
Well, look, I mean, but it is, I mean, it is a huge recruiting thing. And honestly, they haven't, you know, when they got Kenny Chandler a couple of years ago, everybody knew, okay, this is going to be a chance this year. And that's what it is, because I think he's probably going to go to the NBA. I could make a strong case for him to come back for one more year. You know, Vescovi and James, that's the backbone of your team. These young bigs are going to, you know, get better. But this is just that rare combination of you've got all these pieces, some very young, some very old, like Johnny Fulke out there, you know, just running around. It's just, you know, and that's what you see a lot of times with teams that make runs is, one, they are often old in important spots, and this one is. But then sometimes there's like that hot shot freshman, you know, that maybe that real brief stay in college type player who comes in and makes a huge difference. When Rick Barnes made his one Final Four, by the way, I was there for that Elite Eight too, in San Antonio, by the way. TJ Ford, sophomore point guard, a blur. He had a disappointing NBA career, but he was a blur in college and that's who they rode to the Final Four, and I definitely see the parallel with Kennedy Chandler.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans so far in free agency and what could still be left on the table for that team. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. NFL free agency is underway. The Titans have already started making some moves. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys today?
We are wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we'll start with just the Ben Jones aspect of this. We wondered, would Ben Jones be back? Would he not? Would there be a pay cut involved if he did come back? That is not the case. Two-year contract, $14 million for Ben Jones. What do you think of the contract for Ben Jones, and how important was it in your mind to bring him back if you were John Robinson and the Titans?
Yeah, that took a little longer than I thought it would. You know, he was a guy, I don't think there was any doubt that this team wanted, you know, badly to remain. I didn't get any kind of sense that he was a guy that was thinking, well, maybe if I go look around a little bit, just see what's out there, even though that's probably the diligent thing for anybody to do. So I was surprised it kind of went till it did, but, you know, again, nothing ever gets a deal done like a deadline, and Wednesday is coming up quickly, so they got this thing that, you know, we saw. The big question, I guess, is, you know, will he hold up for another 2 years? This is a guy who plays through everything. You know, he was on the injury report with two different things last year, and those were just the ones that were listed. I'm sure there were a couple other things. You know, we saw him battle through a couple of games when he wasn't 100% certainly, and that's sort of been an increasing storyline for him the last couple of years. So, you know, is he gonna be able to stay on his feet? You know, he's gonna give you everything he has. It's just you know, at his age, how much does he have left now?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that's kind of been the thing with him and Roger Saffold, right? I mean, impressive how they answer the bell each week, but then you wonder, you know, I mean, how banged up are these guys? Of course, Saffold out, Jones back. I feel like that gives them a chance, David, to, you know, to try to be better next year, because I think they have to be. So they bring in Jamarco Jones on a pretty cheap deal. What do you think of him as a player and that move? And how do you see things shaking out with this offensive line? Like, where do you see Dylan Radins next year?
Yeah, Jones is, you know, Jones, I guess, is interesting in that, you know, he's a guy who sort of plays every position but center, or has played every position but center in his time with Seattle. One of those, you know, it strikes me as jack of all trades, master of none. Probably not a guy who's going to come in here and be a starter. And it sort of put me in the mind, you just mentioned Dylan Raiden's, Joe. It sort of put me in the mind of him. And I'm wondering if the Titans aren't getting a little too caught up in this, you know, this sort of idea that everybody has to play everywhere. Like how would Raiden's rookie year have been different if they had said to him from day one of rookie minicamp, you know, you're playing right tackle and you're going to be at right tackle every single day, every minute of every practice of, you know, every meeting you need to be thinking right tackle. And when you're good enough, we're going to put you in there. You know, would he have gotten good enough at some point? You know, I don't know. I think based on the San Francisco game, I think that gave them some confidence that, you know, maybe Dylan Raiden's can do a Christian Fulton, if you will. You know, a guy that you didn't see much of his rookie year, but you liked some of what you saw. They took the leap of faith with him last year and you know, basically went into the offseason and said, he's our starting cornerback. We're going to, you know, we drafted him in the second round for a reason. You know, we're plugging him in there and we'll see how he does. And, you know, he was one of their better pass defenders from the start of the year to the end. I think that's sort of the same thing they have to do with Raiden's here. Say, look, we drafted this guy in the second round for a reason. You know, we blew it with Isaiah Wilson. We can't keep spinning our wheels on the offensive line and the draft here. We gotta get something out of it. And if, you know, I think that's probably what happens there. And at left guard, I think Aaron Brewer is probably going to be the guy. He has started a couple games the last few years that, you know, filled in at both guard positions, can play a little center, but by all accounts is, you know, the first or second most athletic guy in that offensive line room, outside of Taylor Lewan, maybe a little more athletic than Taylor Lewan these days. And I think there has to be a certain appeal there in the minds of the coaches if you've got, okay, two hyper-athletic big guys playing next to each other there. You know, what can that, you know, what can that possibly yield? And there's probably going to be some changing of the, if that's the case, I would think they can do some things in terms of who pulls when and where and why and that sort of thing that maybe they can do differently than they've done in the last couple of years.
David Beauclair on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, obviously a lot of people looking at the tight end position this offseason for the Titans. You bring back Jeff Swaim yesterday, but still some holes on that position on this roster. And you look around the league right now, tight ends are coming off the board left and right. I mean, obviously with Brady coming back, you would figure if Gronk plays, he'll be in Tampa Bay with Brady. You still got guys like Gerald Everett and Tonyan and Ferks are still out there, O.J. Howard. How important is it to find a tight end that can be reliable in the passing game for this group? And do you think the Titans are running out of time to do so in free agency?
I don't think they're running out of time. I think there's enough of them that, you know, basically the Harold Landry deal, you put the Titans in a spot where I think where they sort of have to just look at the bargain basement now for pretty much all of free agency, right? I mean, that was, you know, that sort of eliminated the opportunity to do a Bud Dupree type splash this off season in free agency. So I think they probably just have to wait a little while for some of these guys and the price to come down. And, you know, as you mentioned, Robbie, you know, yesterday was kind of a funny day in the deals that were getting negotiated. It's sort of like the coming out party for offensive linemen all of a sudden in the NFL, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, like everybody wanted to scoop up offensive linemen and be better, you know, Cincinnati in particular, and tight ends seemed to have had a pretty good day too. So that was a bit unusual. So I think the Titans will play the waiting game there, and I don't think people should forget about, you know, should forget about Briley Moore either. He was an undrafted rookie last year who, you know, he's, no one's ever going to confuse him with Craig Stevens, right? Like he is not a blocking tight end. He's a guy that you're going to flex out in the slot, kind of do some things with him, can run routes, can catch the ball. He hurt his knee early in training camp, was done for the year. I think there's a certain sense that he could emerge too, that maybe he's maybe he'll be a bit of a steal in terms of an undrafted at some point. So I think they feel like they have something there. They obviously don't know what. You certainly have to get a veteran at some point to cover your bases and say we have to have somebody we know that can do this job. But I think they're looking at Briley Moore as, hey, let's see what this guy has this year, and he might really do something for us.
No, totally agree, David. I thought he looked promising in camp before he got hurt, and certainly had a heck of a career at K-State. So I think that's a name to keep in mind. But, of course, there are names to come. One name that I continue to be interested in with this team in terms of – I'm assuming he's back, but I'd like to know if he's back at a different number, is Zach Cunningham. How do you think that goes?
Yeah, that's I'm with you. I think because this team still has not dug out of salary cap hell, right? I mean, they've got to free up some more money, and Cunningham is a guy it can be done easily. I think you extend him and you can bring that cap number down $7-8 million. You can get a big chunk of money from doing that, and I don't see any. I mean, I guess there's not a real pressing need to do this right now because he is under contract. So you have him. It's just a matter of working it out. Maybe you want to see what else happens in free agency a little bit. Maybe there's somebody else they sort of have their eye on that they think is a little cheaper. I don't know, but I'm with you, Joe. I assume he's on the team going forward. I assume he's on the team for more than just a year. And that's sort of the next move. Like Saffold getting cut didn't surprise me, and I think the next move to free up some money here is you extend and rework Zach Cunningham's number for this year to get yourself some more room under the cap there.
David, can you confirm or deny that you have been signed to play wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'll tell you what, one of these years the Jaguars are going to spend all this money and get something out of it. I guess that's the big fear for the other teams in the AFC South, because I think I saw something yesterday. This, as of right now, this is the fourth year in a row they're in the top 10 for free agency spending, and it certainly hasn't translated to much for them. But now you have Trevor Lawrence. At least I would assume that gives them a sense of, okay, this, you have a clear vision of what you're building toward and why and how it all should look. But I don't think the Titans are exactly sweating them just yet in terms of a primary threat to their spot atop the AFC South.
Yeah, I would say probably not at this point. David Beauclair, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. You guys all have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll come back. We'll react to what David had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also get to some breaking news in the NFL. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexard, we have some breaking news in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers has signed his contract with the Green Bay Packers. It is done. He has signed. I can breathe.
You can exhale now.
All these things have happened.
You can grow your beard back now.
Yes. Yes, I can.
So, all right, well.
It looks like it's basically a three-year contract worth $150 million for Aaron Rodgers. And they have, you know, there's a series of tweets here from Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. Tom Pelissero says $42 million in 2022, $59.515 in 2023, and $49.3 in 2024. So a little bit over $150 million for the next 3 years, and the first two are fully guaranteed at signing. And digging through other tweets here, it looks like the cap hit is going to be relatively low in the first couple years of that deal as well. So Aaron Rodgers, back to the pack, officially.
There you go. So that's official. And now, what's up with Devontae Adams?
That's a good question. Did you, I mean, a lot of Packers Twitter's freaking out because he said he's not playing on the franchise tag yesterday. I understand why they're freaking out. It's also, you have until July 15th to get that done. So there's a lot of time to negotiate there. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, like, I'd want to know, better make sure you get Devontae Adams. I mean, it's too late now. He signed the contract, but better make sure you get Devontae Adams locked up too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're Aaron Rodgers, well, I mean, look, I guess you feel okay about the contract you just signed.
Probably okay.
You know, you feel okay about things. You're all right. But as great as Aaron Rodgers is, and granted, like, I mean, it's not like he's been surrounded by absolute superstars his whole career. He's always had at least one really good receiver, though.
Yeah.
And this is the best he's ever had.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. Still a lot of time to get that one done. But this means you can probably kiss Jordan Love goodbye. Although the Packers have not said yet that they'd be willing to trade Jordan Love if they signed Aaron Rodgers to another contract. Now, they're not going to say that publicly before the contract gets signed, so I understand that. But now that it's official and that he's signed, I wonder what they do with Jordan Love. Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, points out on Twitter, says Rodgers is basically under contract through the 2024 season. That's Jordan Love's fifth year, an option for which the Packers need to decide on next offseason. Packers can't pick it up now if they're paying Rodgers around $50 million in 2024. So are they just going to keep Jordan Love around as the backup for the next couple of years and then just see when it comes to that time if you're picking up the fifth-year option? I don't know.
You know, they'd be in much better position here if he hadn't seen the field last year.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Now, granted, maybe they'd also feel differently. Maybe they'd be more bullish about keeping it. I have no idea what they think. But, you know, if he was still basically an unknown commodity, and I still think he largely is, but to your point earlier in the show, he was pretty bad. But if he was, you know, an unknown commodity, I think there might be more interest out there. Like, okay, yeah, we can go get this guy still on his rookie deal and give him an actual opportunity. I still think there's got to be some kind of market for him. I just don't know. I just don't know how much or who.
Yeah, I don't know what the compensation would be. Like, if you're, let's say you're a team like the Colts out there that's interested in Jordan Love, like, what are you willing to give up to bring Jordan Love in? Obviously, they don't have a first rounder at the moment this year. Like, you're not giving up a first rounder for Jordan Love. I'd be shocked if that happened. Second?
Would the third? Packers, would the Packers take a third for him? Yeah, I mean, you might.
I mean, yeah. I would.
Worth a thought, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a thought.
Well, then you got to find a backup quarterback after that if you're the Packers too. Like, you know, as far as backups are concerned,
and pay more,
yeah,
and pay more for the backup quarterback.
Exactly. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that they're just absolutely going to trade Jordan Love this year. Like, you could keep him another year as your backup, and then maybe try to trade him after that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with Jordan Love, but maybe that's another option for a team like the Colts, who we're sitting here going through the options right now of Jimmy G, or, you know, trading maybe a roster player or an asset to go draft someone. I don't know. But Jordan Love could be another option on that front as well.
How about, like, a Jordan Love, Marcus Mariota quarterback competition in Indy? There's so many, like, intriguing possibilities out there. So many combinations that just sound wonderful for Colts Nation.
Yes, it does. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in says, Robbie's not shaving until the Packers win the Super Bowl, and then is attached a picture of Forrest Gump after he gets done running across the country with that big, massive beard that he has. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate that.
I was going to make a Rip Van Winkle joke after that, but I like the Forrest Gump. is that? Why don't you make that vow right now, Robbie?
Well, I mean, I would. I don't think my wife would like that. Of course, she didn't like when I shaved either. So,
listen, when you grow it out, you got to ask her to let you know when it's at the perfect length. Like, okay.
That changes, though.
The face is fully bald. Same. You need to let me know.
I don't know. Look, if I could grow the Forrest Gump hair in addition to the Forrest Gump beard, I'd do it. I'd commit to it right now. But it's only going to be one of the two. Only the beard part of it. No hairs coming on this head.
Well, I mean, there are like regrowth things out there that seem to be pretty good. I mean, I'm just saying, man.
Maybe I'll give it a shot. Be a sweet mullet out there pretty soon. I could do a skullet right now. Like, I could really get after it.
Dude, if you, it's like a skullet with the beard,
oh, yeah.
It would be kind of sweet. Let's be honest.
I mean, did you see the guy that
won? May not be very popular at home.
Did you see the guy that won the Players' Championship yesterday? His name's Cameron Smith. Looked like Joe Dirt out there playing golf. It was awesome. This is the new look. The mullets has come back. Like, the dirty stash in front has come back. It's an amazing time to be alive, how these things come full circle.
Yeah, I still keep waiting for bell bottoms and acid wash jeans to come back, but yeah, it's heartwarming to see mullets out there again.
Hey, the time is still there for Rex Road. Do you think you could still grow a mullet?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, could I grow like?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could grow a mullet.
Well, you could have that mullet and get that rat tail.
Yeah. What are we waiting on then?
Well, Katie claims that I had a mullet in high school based on my senior picture, which absolutely is not true. My army dad, absolutely. I actually tried to grow a mullet in ninth grade, and he took me to the barber and said, yep, see this kid right here? Buzz it. So I did not have, but I had a little bit longer hair, and so Katie tries to say I had a mullet, but as I've told you guys before, the rat tail was an absolute no-go with my parents.
A dream of Joe's.
A lot of kids on my baseball team had sweet rat tails in the mid-80s, and I was not allowed to get one. So maybe this is the time to do that.
Maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Get into the moves the Titans have made in free agency. What did you think of the Ben Jones contract? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.